going to lay down my burden.
Well, down by the riverside.
Well,
down by the riverside.
Well,
down
by the riverside. We're talking the Colorado River today all morning long here with specialist on the topic, attorney Rita McGuire with the firm McGuire Pearson Story. Ms. Rita served as the chief of the Arizona Department of Water Resources for a decade. She knows water. That's why we brought her in and invited her into the conversation. Okay, so we almost had to go to tier one rationing.
Correct.
Coming out of this February, March, April, they were reading some magic dial, Ouija board, you know, something, and they were saying we need to start rationing at this point. So right. I'm assuming we can trust those people to know what they're doing. Who are they?
It's actually the Bureau of Reclamation. It's a federal agency housed at the U.S. Department of Interior. And,
okay.
And in fact, the Secretary of the Interior is known as the Watermaster of the Colorado River. Only in the lower basin, though, not in the upper basin, which is Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Utah.
Okay.
So seven states share the river, but half of it is in the upper basin, and then the three states in the lower basin include Arizona.
Okay, let's get to a little bit. We are a home improvement show. Let's get a little bit to how it impacts the Arizona homeowner. I have to be constantly reminded by my family that we're a home improvement show because my mind just goes 47 different directions. But this tier one rationing that we were on the very precipice of actually having activated, how would an Arizona homeowner even feel that?
No, that homeowner would not see the impact because in the deliveries of the Central Arizona Project, the lowest priority recipients are the farmers. So it's the farmers that get Colorado River water through the CAP that get cut back first. So the first 320,000 acre feet, which is in the tier one shortage, is all water that otherwise would go to farmers. And then there's what we call the Arizona Water Bank Authority. They get some of that water when it's available to store underground when we're in droughts for cities that get CAP deliveries.
So the homeowner would indirectly see it in food prices over a period of time.
I think that's right, Romy. Yeah, there are impacts. It's just not direct impacts.
Okay. So we have a water savings account. We're diverting a little too all the time.
Exactly. Since 1996, the legislature created an agency known as the Arizona Water Bank Authority, and its sole purpose is to take the unused Colorado River water that would otherwise be delivered through the CAP system and put it underground in aquifers in Maricopa, Pinal, and Pima counties.
And the trigger point for that Tier 1 rationing is the water level in Lake Mead.
Correct.
So they're constantly interpreting what's coming in.
Exactly.
Okay, and then what can we let out?
Right.
Okay. And we have a 6-inch buffer right now?
Right.
Is that what you said?
I did. Okay. I said it's right now the elevation is 1075 and 6 inches.
And that 6 inches is keeping us with an interpolation of what's coming in.
Right.
From having to go to Tier 1.
Right, right.
Where does Tier 2 come in?
Tier 2 comes in at elevation 1,050 feet. So it drops 25 more feet, and now you're into Tier 2, and now you've got a cutback of 400,000 acre feet.
Okay. As a homeowner, am I feeling it yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. It's still really the farmers, primarily in Pinal County, who take the large slug of that CAP water.
Should that be changing behaviors by then, though? I mean, would the public be made aware and
yes.
things should be done?
I think most cities are, of course, very much aware of where we're at, and they're very cognizant of the things they need to do to keep the per capita demand as low as possible. But it doesn't really affect the municipal deliveries until you get down to Tier 3, and even then, they have lots of other supplies to draw from.
And what is the level for Tier 3?
Tier 3 is 1,000 and... Let's see, 25 feet. So it drops another 25.
Another 25.
Exactly.
Now, is there any more tiers beyond that, or is that, that's...
That's, we're in big trouble now.
That's everyone moved to snow country.
Exactly, exactly. What's happening now is now you're getting so far down that, for example, Las Vegas's intake pumps in Lake Mead are at 1,000 feet. So that once that water table gets down that low in Lake Mead, they can't draw water out of Lake Mead. But the other thing that most people don't realize is we generate a ton of hydroelectric power out of Hoover Dam. When you're not pushing a lot of water through the Hoover Dam intake pumps,
you can't power Vegas.
Exactly. The lights go down. It's not quite that serious, but there are impacts. There are serious impacts. The other thing is the hole gets so deep, you can't recover. That's the problem. You need so much rainfall, snowfall, to recover the lake when you get that low in the reservoir.
Have we ever had to institute any of those tiers?
No, never. Not in the history of the management of the Colorado River system.
And we're 6 inches away from it. Have we ever been closer than 6 inches?
We did. In fact, I mean, we didn't go below 1075, but until we had that big rainfall, the six storms that came in May, we were teetering right at 1075. And that's why we thought a shortage was going to be declared in 2016.
Here's an amazing statistic that I'm actually quoting from the executive director of the Home Builders of Central Arizona, Connie Wilhelm. We're using exactly the same amount of water in Arizona as we did in 1957. Today, we're using exactly the same amount.
Right.
That's amazing.
It is. It's very impressive. And the reason that happened is in 1980, we passed the Groundwater Management Act. And that applies in five different areas of the state where most of the people live. 80+% of the population resides in these active management areas. And in those areas, conservation was required of municipal water providers, of farmers, of industrial water users. So we've been conserving water since the 80s.
I think that's just one testimony of how good a shape we're in. And we've been talking about kind of facetiously about what happens when the river runs dry, you know. But Arizona is really in pretty darn good shape for a long time to come.
You're exactly right. We are in much better shape than California. We are in much better shape than Nevada. Big reasons, the legal system that I just talked about. We regulate in a way that neither California or Nevada do. And more importantly, we have huge underground aquifers that have massive quantities of groundwater. Las Vegas doesn't have any aquifers underneath it, neither does San Diego. So that's Mother Nature helping us out.
Well, I can understand California's agriculture industry being in huge jeopardy. But, I mean, at the point they're really running out of water, I mean, someone's going to activate desalination plants. It's just going to be expensive water.
Right.
Right?
There's 15 desalination plant plans on the drawing board. They're building one in Carlsbad that will likely be the largest desalination plant, I think, in the Western Hemisphere. So, yes, but the cost of desalinated water is twice what the cost of other surface water supplies are. So it's a big increase in the cost of water.
Are there any in activity right now of the desalination plants?
There's a desalination plant in El Paso, Texas, that generates quite a bit of water there. We've had the Yuma desalination plant, and we call it YDP, which is just outside of the city of Yuma. That's a 25-year-old plant built by the Bureau of Reclamation. Currently mothballed, but could be restarted and generate water.
Well, with California overusing their allotment and us getting close, I mean, we must really be cheating Mexico bad.
You know, a lot of people think that. That's a natural conclusion, but it's not true. Mexico, as a result of a treaty that was entered into in 1944 with the United States and Mexico, they're guaranteed deliveries of 1.5 million acre-feet of Colorado River water. They've gotten it every single year, and in fact, they get more water because of this ordering problem. You know, when water's released from Lake Mead, it takes about 5 days to get to Yuma.
Okay.
So storms come along, things change. Farmers say, you know, I don't need to divert that water because I just had a big rainfall. So suddenly that water's downstream, and we don't have anywhere to put it. It ends up in Mexico.
As good a shape as we are in Arizona, we do have some trouble spots. Sulphur Springs Valley,
right.
Down
Cochise County.
Cochise County.
Wilcox.
I mean, their water tables are dropping. Those agriculture guys are having the residential wells are actually going dry. The agriculture industries have to drill deeper. I mean, they don't have a lot of
options,
do they?
That's a really good point, Rosie, and we really should talk about the difference between a renewable water supply and a non-renewable supply. Renewable is your surface water supplies. Mother Nature provides more water, less water. Groundwater is non-renewable. It's finite. Once you pump that groundwater out, unless you artificially recharge it, it takes millennia to refill that aquifer.
Uh-oh.
So if you're relying exclusively on groundwater, you're pumping a fixed amount of supply, and every year there's less of it available to withdraw and use.
Well, I know a lot of the farmers down there are actually switching crops to lower water consumption crops. I understand grapes are taking off down there, and they're more profitable, and they take less water. That's a win-win, right?
Exactly. That's smart. That's smart. We've got to think about things like that.
I mean, it was in the article just not long ago, but Romy's got a buddy down there, John Hart. He's got 800 acres. He's spending $250,000 a year pumping water.
That's his electric bill.
Exactly. That's a really good point, Romy, is that you've got the energy costs increase as the water table drops.
I remember when it was 8 or 9 years ago, maybe not quite that long, but a long time ago, his farm neighbor dried up
in Wilcox.
In Wilcox, dried up at 800 feet. They drilled to 1,200 and still hadn't hit water. And he quit because they didn't have a drill that went deeper.
Wow. So that's Sulphur Springs.
Right.
Kind of in a tenuous situation. I had heard Chino Valley as well.
Chino Valley situation, there's a lot of groundwater there.
Okay.
But now you're getting into sort of the mysterious side of water, because a lot of the wells in Chino Valley, people have what we call exempt wells. They supply the domestic household needs,
right,
and maybe a small pasture, are very close to the Verde River. So when they're pumping water out of that well, it's really not necessarily groundwater. It could be what we call subflow to the Verde River system.
Talking and water here at Roselle Now. Folks, we're going to keep talking water. I want y'all to stay tuned, because we're going to end on a high note. We've kind of been sarcastically delving into what happens when the river runs dry. Arizona's in good shape. That's what we're going to wrap up with. The good news. Stay tuned when we get back.